I am fantasy and paranormal romance author Leslie Penelope, and welcome to My Imaginary Friends, a look behind the scenes of an author mapping the worlds in my head and making them a reality. Hello, friends. Today is Sunday, March 19th, 2023, and this is episode 210 of My Imaginary Friends. I'm Leslie. So this week's episode is sponsored by the course Imaginary Worldbuilding, Creating Fictional Worlds for Writers. Readers love sinking into engaging and immersive fictional worlds. If you are overwhelmed or unsure about how to go from idea to cohesive world, check out the course, Imaginary Worldbuilding. You can start today and move at your own pace, or join the upcoming cohort with weekly meetings with Q&A and feedback starting April 25th. Introductory pricing ends March 31st, 2023. So to lock in the lowest price that the course will ever be, you can sign up at myimaginaryfriends.net. And make sure you're on my footnotes newsletter, also at myimaginaryfriends.net, for the weekly inspiration, tools, actionable ideas for writers newsletter in your inbox every Monday. So this week's best thing was the event that happened yesterday at Mahogany Books in DC. It was a lot of fun. They actually live streamed it on Facebook, so I will link to that event in the show notes if you'd like to watch the replay. It was with me, Veronica G. Henry, and Nicole Glover. So it was an evening with Black women fantasy writers. And it was amazing how much synergy there was between us in terms of all writing about found family. Like, those themes were very strong in the work. There were other times, all three of us work in IT, which was also really interesting. And yeah, I admire both of those women. I think their books are fantastic. It was a great evening with good questions, a good conversation. We did brief readings from our books and then talked a bit about writing Black fantasy and specifically historical Black fantasy, which all three of us have done. And yeah, it was a great event. So if you'd like to catch up on the replay, check out the link in the show notes, or you can go to Mahogany Books' Facebook page. My writing update. Things are going well still. I did talk to my editor briefly over email, and I got an extra week. So the book is now due April 10th, which feels really good to me. I've been moving right along, but that extra bit of padding is just really making me feel much more confident. I'm into Act 3, so I've been writing this weekend. I'm sort of like 7 days a week now until I get to the end. And then maybe with a little breathing room, I can take a day off, just let it rest. But as far as I know right now, we're just every day. But I'm actually feeling energized. Like, the reason I usually take a day or two off every week is to try to avoid burnout. But I've just been writing these really emotional scenes that are draining on one end, but I just feel like are really good. You know, I feel like this book is going to be really good. I'm so excited about it. I like it. I like what I'm doing. Things are coming together in my brain. The scene that I wrote yesterday morning kind of changed the way I'm going to approach Act 3 to a certain degree. I got to cut a couple of scenes that I thought that I needed, but I don't think I need anymore because I was able to bring some stuff forward, which makes the pacing feel better. And I'm excited to jump into Act 3 and see what else I'm going to discover, because there's a few clunky things in my outline that I wasn't sure about when I wrote them. And I was like, well, it's the end, so I can't figure out the end until I've lived through the writing of the beginning and the middle. So I'm not going to worry about it because it always works itself out. And, you know, just experiencing that happening is always really magical and powerful. And yeah, I'm really loving this book. For such a long time during the initial writing process, it wasn't feeling the way that it feels now. And especially with getting a really good response for The Monsters, the previous book, I was like, oh, what if these people, what if they don't like this one? And of course, that's outside of my control. I can just do the best that I can do and control the book and, you know, make the best product I can. But I was hit by something several months ago now, and I don't remember where I heard this, but it's the idea that readers don't want your next book to be better than your last one. If they liked your last one, they just want your next book to be the same, you know, to give them the same feelings and the same emotions and to have the same amount of quality as the last one. So while I do think that as artists, we're always growing and it's good to push yourself, there was a sort of pressure that I think I put on myself. Well, I know I put it on myself. No one else put it on me, for every book to be a little bit better than the last one. And then coming across this idea that readers don't need it to be better. They need it to be the same. So then it was like, am I providing a similar experience as the last book? And I do write across subgenres, from epic fantasy, which is different than the historical fantasy, which is different than the paranormal romance. But at least within the subgenres, can I provide the same experience so that you come to my books, whether they're Leslie Penelope books or L. Penelope books, and you're getting a consistent experience? And that was a really powerful idea that I really liked. And so now, although it does bring with it its own level of pressure, like, okay, is this book at least as good as the last one? Is it going to give them similar feelings as the last one? Because it's in the same vein. You know, it's not a sequel. It's not even in the same magical universe. I was trying, but just, it wasn't working. But it's like a spiritual sibling. It's similar themes. It's a different way to approach the same themes that I was approaching in Monsters. And it's very much about community and thriving in the midst of a very difficult time for Black people, you know, the 1930s or in the Deep South. And so I'm dealing with hard topics, but I'm also trying to not create a book that is full of trauma. You know, I don't want to be writing Black trauma. I want to be writing Black joy. That was my goal with Monsters, and I feel like I pulled that off. And so here in this next book, I'm dealing with even more intense Black trauma and the legacies of it, and really trying to do it in a joyful way. So I mentioned last week about changing the title, and the reason my editor suggested a title change was because of that. We had talked about when I got the edits back, you know, making sure that this book has joy in it and to balance out the more difficult aspects and the themes and the backstories of some of the characters. And so I agreed. I didn't intend for the first draft to be joyless, but it was. And so a lot of this revision has been about, you know, I made a lot of changes. I've rewritten 75-80% of it. I've rewritten some of the characters, their personalities are different, all trying to make it more joyful so I can keep the core storyline and the core backstory of trauma and pain. But I don't want the reader to feel traumatized when they read it. And I don't believe you will. I think I've done a good job of that. So no need to fear. That's part of the experience also of reading one of my books. And especially since I'm dealing in historical fantasy, and anything historical with Black people is going to be filled with difficulty. I mean, present is not excluded, but specifically the past. And how do I do that and talk about certain things and have the authenticity of those events be there without making you feel like you've just been through the ringer yourself after you've read the book? And there's some books I read the description of, and I am scared. I was talking about this with my friends the other day. We listed some books, and I'm very happy that Black people are being published and doing well, but oof, I don't want to read any of those books. Like, talk about trauma. Just reading the description feels difficult and unpleasant. So that's definitely not what I'm trying to do. So I've been brainstorming new titles, and I've got one that I like a lot, but we'll see. I haven't talked to my editor about it. I'm going to try to come up with a list and of things that are just as meaningful and feel just as right for the story, but also don't make you feel like you're going to be having to get the box of tissues. Although you might, because these scenes that I wrote, they are really emotional, but not in that way. Like, in the way that you want to be emotional when you read a book. You want to have feelings. You want to feel for the characters. And yeah, I just had like 3 or 4 emotional scenes in a row. And I'm thinking about, okay, pacing, what am I doing? But we're coming to that point. We're at the climax, the end of Act 2. I guess that's not the climax. Structurally, this book is still a little wonky. Like, I feel like I'm entering Act 3, but it's still a little more loose than any of my other structures. But yeah, we're building up to that point where the all is lost moment happens and you're hopefully feeling some things. And then we're going to get through Act 3 and bring you out of the hole. So yeah, I'm still feeling good. I'm feeling so much energy about it. I'm actually really joyful and happy about the book itself. And I have to still bring it home. And Act 3 is very important, but I at least feel good about Acts 1 and 2. The cover reveal for the next book in the Bliss War series, my futuristic paranormal romance dystopia, Beastly Kingdom, the cover reveal is this week. It's going to be on Frolic on Wednesday of this week. So if you were on my newsletter, my author newsletter, I will be doing that on Tuesday. So if you're listening to this in real time, you have time to jump on the newsletter at lpenelope.com/newsletter. Otherwise, it will be out in the world on Wednesday. I love these covers. My designer is just amazing. I'm so happy with them. I told you a few weeks ago that I got the cover for the third book, even though third book is still to be written. And I don't want to think about that right now because book two comes out at the end of April and I have to focus any extra attention I have that I had not focused on the Black Towns book back onto Beastly Kingdom and marketing, promoting. It's going to be like a low-key release. It is book two. I had at least one or two beta readers say it stands alone, but I don't know how I feel about that. I'm just definitely not marketing it as a standalone. This is a trilogy. It's one story, different couples per book, which I've more effectively done than I have in the past when I intended to do this. And yes, so Beastly Kingdom is coming out April 28th. I will be at a PolyCon and I need to get like an arc form up. There's all these things I had on my list for this weekend that just didn't get done because of the way the weekend has been working out. We'll see. As I'm recording this, there's still time left, but I don't want to pile a whole bunch of stuff onto my Sunday when I need to actually relax since I've been writing every day. And I do have to still be cognizant of burnout because it's still waiting around the corner. So if you are interested in being an ARC reader for Beastly Kingdom, make sure you're on the author newsletter again. That information is probably going out this week, I believe. Yeah, I guess the same newsletter. If I get myself together either today or on Monday, it'll be there. In other book-related news, I got an email this week which reminded me of a thing that I had forgotten I had done, which is sign up my book, The Cupid Mix-Up, which is actually a long short story, I guess a novelette of like 11,000 words. I had signed it up for Draft Digital's program for AI audiobook narration, which I guess is actually through Apple Books. I don't remember doing this, but when I got the email, I was like, oh, I did do that. So The Cupid Mix-Up is free on all retailers, and it's the lead-in to the short series of short, light paranormal romances, The Cupid Guild. And apparently, yes, I signed it up to have an AI audiobook narrator because these books, like I said, they're short. I haven't had any plans to make audiobooks of them. And I figured that a free short story was a good way. I mean, the audiobook is not free, but the text of the book is free. Just a good way to test this out. So if you are interested in hearing the AI narration of The Cupid Mix-Up, it is available on Apple Books. There's a link in the show notes to it. I listened to the first minute or so, and I think I heard a typo immediately. Like, I just read the typo, of course, which they were edited, but you know, humans, things get through. So I actually haven't listened to the whole thing, but it didn't sound terrible. I mean, the one thing is the voice doesn't sound black, and I try to have black narrators, who's a black character. So that's one thing I totally didn't think about. It didn't cross my mind. If I ever do make these into real audiobooks, which is not anywhere close to being on the calendar, because they don't sell particularly well. It's just, you know, I had written them, I put them out there. I enjoy these shorts a lot. But yeah, I don't think they'll ever be real audiobooks. So if you are interested in checking it out, please do so and let me know your feedback if you choose to listen. So I did a workshop this past week on productivity. It is my Organizing Your Writing Life workshop, which I've given several times. And it's about planning and, you know, time boxing, how to get a lot of things done in a short period of time and organize things. And I got a question, which was really interesting, about core values, because I talk about in the workshop, you know, knowing your why. This is something I talk about in the keynote that I gave, and it's just a thing that I believe in. So I'm going to probably talk about it a lot. But in order to figure out what you need to be doing and prioritize your tasks, you should know why you're doing this in the first place. And for me, that means identifying your core values, what you want out of your career, what success means to you, all of those things. And one of the participants had a question about how do you figure out your core values? Like, she was in flux, and I was like, that's a really good question. The first answer that came to mind was, kind of went back to these branding worksheets that I had done when I was thinking about almost rebranding My Imaginary Friends a little bit, actually creating a new logo. So at the end of last year, when I knew I was doing the course under the brand of My Imaginary Friends, and I wanted to try to make the podcast a little more focused. I don't know how well I'm doing that, but I was like, it's been a couple of years, it's time for a new logo. And I went through this branding workshop, basically, which helped a lot. I really appreciated it and got a lot out of it. And I was taking this other class when I was developing the course, which also included like a similar kind of branding workshop. And these are giving you lists of adjectives about your business or your brand, and then you kind of choose what words fit, and this helps you figure out what your brand is. So for example, for my imaginary friends, the adjectives I ended up, you know, whittling it down to four were cheerful, inspiring, modern, and whimsical. And that's how I came up with the new logo. Like, they seem to represent those things for me. And I think your core values are sort of how you want to show up in the world, what's important to you, what you want to contribute, how you want to approach doing that. And there's no right answers. It's just who you are and what you feel. And so coming back to those ideas of these core values can help you to organize yourself and prioritize everything that you have to do. And I come back to that again and again because I'm in a period that's pretty trying. Lots of things going on, lots of balls in the air, lots to juggle, and still trying to maintain health and sanity. The other really powerful thing that hit me this week was from a newsletter by a woman named Marie Poulin, I believe. And she does a newsletter on Notion, the software Notion. It's called Notion Mastery. It's a course that she does, but I'm on her free newsletter. And she's like a Notion expert, and she has built her brand around the software, as many people have, because it's, I watched this other YouTube video about, like, why is everyone obsessed with Notion these days? But it's really helpful. I really like it. It's helped me to organize my writing life. So the quote that I got from her is, task management is emotion management. And that just hit me. And I think it's something like that is in the workshop that I give, because really, managing your to-do list is managing your emotions. You're managing your guilt for not being able to get everything done. You're managing the feeling of overwhelm, the feeling of responsibility for all of these tasks. There can be sadness or regret for agreeing to do all of these things in the first place. There's so many emotions that are hitting you. And productivity systems are really about managing these emotions. The tips that I give in the workshop are really about being kind to yourself and taking the pressure off, trying to do your best, knowing that you can't do everything. None of us are perfect, and none of us are ever going to have this amazing, perfect productivity system that allows us to get everything done within these 24 hours that we have every day. It's just not possible. So we do the best we can. We try to take the guilt away and take the stress away and the shame of, you know, failure away, because we're all going to fail at some point at this. And introduce some more kindness and gentleness and self-love, and then build yourself back up with, okay, do you have a done list where you can feel good about all the things you actually did do, as opposed to feeling bad about the things you haven't done? What can you set up and put into place in your life that will make you feel better instead of making you feel bad and like a terrible person and like you're failing all the time? So yeah, it's all about emotions. And that was just really well said, and see someone else talking about it reinforced my own feelings about it. And I was very grateful to have that message come through. So that is it for me for this week. My goals for the week: keep writing. I should be able to get the majority of Act 3 done this week, and just keep at the pace I'm at, keep my current energy levels. That would be my ideal goal. And then I have... after that, I still have to go back to these interstitials. I had a great idea in the middle of the night. Like, I reached for my phone, and I was, I use Google Keep to record a lot of things, and they have the dictation. So I was just like speaking into the phone to capture this idea that I had for these interstitials that have been causing me problems. They're the last thing I'm going to handle. And then I have to figure out, am I going to name the chapters? I talked about in a podcast months or years ago when I was doing this, naming the chapters in The Monsters We Defy, and how, you know, that's the first book I've ever named chapters. And so I feel like I should name these chapters too, but that's definitely going to be the very last thing I do if I decide to take that on. Right now I'm at chapter 32 and going into the third act. So at least 40, 45, maybe 50 chapters. It's a lot of names, and I don't know if I want to take that on or not, but that's to come. So let's keep writing, keep pushing forward. I hope that you have a wonderful week, and I will talk to you next week. For episode show notes and to sign up for the Footnotes newsletter to get the show notes in your inbox, go to myimaginaryfriends.net. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and watch the video episodes on YouTube. You can email me at podcast@lpenelope.com, and I would really appreciate a rating or review to help support the show. My Imaginary Friends is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. For more fantastic podcasts, go to frolic.media/podcast.